Welcome to Christian Guys Radio. Radio for, well, the Christian guy. Let's jump right in. Well, good afternoon, everybody. We are thrilled that you're here and joining us again. You know, we talk a lot here at Christian Guys about all kinds of things. One thing that I've noticed is most of our conversations are of the polite and cordial and seemingly innocuous topics and information. In other words, it's all, well, I guess for a guy, this would be a little weird, but it's all daisies and roses. You know, it's how to be happy and do good things and all of that stuff. But, you know, reality is that we're men, we're Christians. We, just because we are Christian and just because, you know, we are who we are and what we are, doesn't mean that there aren't things that, shall we say, grind our gears.
Rub us the wrong way.
You know, and that we have our own personal biases or our own personal issues, conflicts, whatever you want to call it, with. And so we are today going to take a few minutes and we're going to spend our time talking specifically about what are some things that you got a problem with. What are some things that grind your gears, that rub you the wrong way, that irritate you, that you find just really, you know, get under your skin? I guess all of those are different ways of saying the same thing. And so however you say it, however you deal with it, we want to first of all tell you, put them down in the comments, share them with us. Let us know what you are thinking, how you're dealing with it. And, you know, that way we can kind of all talk about them, and you never know, maybe somebody else has got the same issues you do. But for us today, those of us that are here in the show and going to share and talk and discuss all of the nuances. So what are some things that are, get under your skin? What are some things you got a problem with? Yeah, I've got a laundry list. So, you know, if I start, this may be a 14 part episode that goes into late October. And
for reference, we're still in April.
Yes. So what are some things that you guys are both great Christian men, upstanding citizens who abide by all of the rules and the letters of the law. But so I'm sure there's very little to nothing that gets under your skin. But if there were to be something, you know, hypothetically or proverbially, what would that be? What would be some things that kind of grind your gears?
For me, trying to live my best to be obedient to God. What grinds my gears is people who are Christian in name only. You look at their life, there is no fruit. You listen to the way they talk.
So are they Sinos or Chinos? Sorry.
People who, when they're pressed, or maybe not when they're pressed, maybe when they're in certain company, you know, this whole title of being Christian just kind of goes out the window.
And usually I would assume that you would agree with this, the ones that it's more of a drop of a hat. It's not like they're having a gun put to their head. It's just any little thing, all of a sudden it goes away.
Right. And usually too, whenever you, I don't know if the word confront would be the best use of it, but whenever you confront them about being a Christian, they always, you know, come out with, was it Matthew 7?
Judge not, lest you be judged.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 1.
Yes. Yeah, they ignore the context of it, but yeah, they like to kind of whip that out.
And
use it out of context.
Out of context, yeah.
Oh, yes. But, you know, you try to explain them as like, well, you know, other biblical references, was it John 10, I think it is, that you must judge with righteousness. Mm.
Like, there's a lot more references to judging and judging properly than there are to not judging.
Right. And we have to, I mean, we have to be gracious, yes, but we also have to point out the flaws in others so that we can grow in,
Right. Well, and being able to point out the flaw and point out the stuff so that, you know, we can help them, spur them along.
Right. And it's not, you know, judging just to bring them down, but to educate them, to write them on the correct path to salvation. Because, I mean, too many times, especially now, it seems a lot of people have these, you know, false beliefs or, you know, ideas of false doctrines about the church and about salvation. It's like, well, you know, there's more than one way to Christ, or there's more, you know, God needs, you know, he's a very loving God. So, you know, he won't mind if I do these sinful things on purpose, or even people who they might say that they are a believer, but they constantly worry about things going on in their lives more than what God has already said about it.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
Well, but I mean, there's, you know, being caught up in life, because I mean, that happens to everybody. And I think we discussed that in a previous podcast, you know, that there's getting caught up in the moment, and there's the purposefully ignoring, you know, that, and it kind of goes to your point. You're purposefully ignoring what you know to be right. It's not just a, this happened to me and I'm caught up in it and I'm working my way through it. It's a, I'm completely disregarding the tenets of my faith. Mm-hmm.
It's also like,
your faith has tenets.
It's also realizing that there's not any fruit or very little fruit of their salvation. They could be people who, I don't really read the Bible. I don't really like being around other believers. I don't really pray, if at all. I don't see God as a priority of my time. I was listening to a pastor yesterday talking about, you know, some people, when you ask them, you know, about their relationship with Christ, they say, oh yes, he's number one, you know, in my life. But the reality is most of these people, you know, whatever time they give God is in essence the scraps.
Yeah, that their assertion is disputed by the half inch worth of dust on top of their Bible.
Oh yeah.
There's a joke, I don't know if you've seen it or not, and I'm sure it's just one of those tales that gets told. I don't know if it actually happened or not, but supposedly a pastor went over to do a house call at one of their parishioners, and after the pastor left, the family noticed that there was a piece of their good silverware missing, and so they thought the pastor took it, you know, and he comes back a year later and they finally ask him about it, and he says, oh, I put it in your Bible. And, you know, they never did find it because they never opened it, you know. So that's, you know, kind of the funny way of describing what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, and yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we've all got, as a pastor, I see this a lot. So I think maybe this one's a little less on my radar, mostly because I've already just had to deal with it. You know, you know that there are going to be people who come in to your church as a pastor, and they're going to know the lingo. They're gonna know what to say, when to say, how to say it. And generally, Well, we'll put this way. I have found this to be true in my own life, my own ministry. Generally, the Holy Spirit tells me almost immediately. You just hear it. When you've been around it long enough, you hear when people are being fake, or they've just learned the language. Because the heart behind it, it's the words don't match the intonation of the way that, well, bless you, brother. There's a way to say that with genuine, I'm praying God's blessing on you, even though it is a turn of phrase now in the Christian world. Mm-hmm. Well, bless you, brother. There's a way it's said, there's intonation and whatnot that goes along with that phrase when you know somebody's saying it genuinely. There's also a different cadence to it when somebody is using it as a tool, as a toy, if you will, to manipulate or
means to an end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To begin a conversation that ultimately is going to lead you and end up with, can you help my family out a little bit with some money? I mean, mm-hmm. I can tell you within just a couple of words of somebody, and the Bible actually speaks to this, because it talks about when Jesus says their words are going to be like a clanging cymbal in my ears. I've always used that as a reference. I know that, again, talking about context, I know that's a little bit different, but that's what comes to my mind when I hear these people, because it is when they speak, the cadence and the intonation and the pace of their speech is wrong. And so it's like my teenage son who's learning to play the drums. What he's playing doesn't sound like anything yet. It just sounds like somebody beating on a whole bunch of drum pieces. But I know he's learning. But that's what it sounds like when I hear somebody who's using Christianese. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so, yeah, I definitely can understand that. So what's something else? What's something else that kind of gets us or you know, deals with, it doesn't even have to be church or Christian related. It doesn't have to be a Bible thing or a faith thing. Because I think we all hate fake Christians. I think we all hate people who put on a show, no matter what area of life that they're in. Mm-hmm. You know, the jock who thinks he's all that and he's only a mediocre player, you know, mm-hmm. but because he was a big man on a little campus, you know, or he was the quarterback. Well, great. You're a quarterback at a high school. Go to college, go to the NFL and they don't make it. You know, they were good for a season. I had a guy like that in my school. His dad was our basketball coach. I was on the basketball team and his dad was our coach. And he was going to the NBA. Everything was this young man. And he was a good player. He played, I think, our freshman and sophomore year of high school. Never heard from him again. And that was it. Well, what happened to Mr. NBA and you know, and everybody else didn't get to play because he had the ball all the time. That kind of stuff. So I think that plays off in a lot of areas of our life.
One that in a kind of sideways way is a little bit related to what you were saying, Caleb. I'm involved with several volunteer organizations. We'll just leave that general description out there, but the ones that get me, and unfortunately you find them a lot on social media, or what some people call keyboard commandos. Mm-hmm. And they'll send a message to any one of the organizations that I volunteer with, and they'll say something to the effect of, why aren't you doing something about this, or are you doing something about this? Well, yeah, we are. Why are you pointing your finger at me? Why aren't you? Or they'll say something to the effect of, you should be doing something. You're part of this too. Why don't you do something? And
they're very first to accuse you of not doing anything.
Well, not just accuse, but you know, they don't want to do it, but they want you to do it. You know, and as it relates to the church, you know, people say, well, I'd go to your church, but you know, you don't offer this particular thing. Right. Because we're small, because you won't come. You come, you volunteer, then you know what? All of a sudden we have that and we can provide that because you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't do 90% of what goes on in the church. There has to be somebody else to do stuff, and you won't come to the church because those things aren't offered when you're the solution to the problem. You could be offering X, Y, or Z, but you're not. Instead, you stay at home because it's not offered. And it's the same with the other organizations. It's like, well, you know, if you guys were just a little bit bigger and you could provide this kind of thing, then I would come. Well, we would be bigger if he would come. So, you know, work with us here. You know, come out. You put feet to your words, and you know, put your the saying, put your money where your mouth is, and mm-hmm. and come out and do something.
It's acting like, well, if only this body was a little bigger or had more parts. It's like, well,
yeah,
you are one of the parts if you just join. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, add silly Star Trek reference. Add your distinctiveness to our collective. You know, it's a little overboard, but you get the point. It's don't sit there and say I would join except when, you know, you could be the except. You could be that piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and there again, it kind of goes along with what we're talking about with. I even consider those people generally fake Christians. Their faith is no deeper than the words that are coming out of their mouth, because exactly what you said. And again, I think I'm a little, I won't say immune to it, but you see it so often. And I do hear that. Yeah. Desensitized right. is a good word, because I hear it real often. You know, well, do you guys have a children's program? Well, sort of. You know, we need some more hands. Oh, well, you know, we're going to go to this other church because they've got a great children's program. Okay, well, they have a great children's program because the people who really enjoyed what we do here and were on board with what we're doing here decided to go elsewhere because they had a better children's program. And or a youth program or a women's program or an outreach or whatever missions or whatever other program is their pet program. And the problem is that's exactly all they are, is they're their pet program. You get these moms who come to church and they're like, well, we really need something for little Johnny. He, you know, we need something for him. Well, okay, that's great. You need something for little Johnny until little Johnny is in sixth grade. When little Johnny's in sixth grade and in youth group, if that church that you're going to doesn't have a good youth group, but they had a good children's program, you're going to leave that church and go find a church that has a good youth group to your definition and liking. So you've never actually joined that church. You've never become engrossed and ingrained in the body like you were talking about, Caleb. Mm-hmm.
Right.
All you have been is armpit sweat. Well, it's really what, because you're not actually part of the body. You're on the body. You are a parasite. You're sucking off the life. You're subsisting off of the life of the church, while never really putting back into it.
Right. You're willing to take from it without giving anything back. You're not willing to see the church as it truly is, which is right. a community. It's like, well, you know, such and such person, you know, they were coming here for weeks, but they left because, you know, we didn't give them what they wanted.
Right.
Or they didn't like, you know, the style of preaching, or they didn't like, you know, the type of music, whatever excuse. Right. But it's like, well, you're not realizing what the church is here for, why we get together.
And they miss out on what is really the fulfilling part of being part of the church or the whatever organization it is. It doesn't have to be a church. You know, when you start to put your time and your effort into making this particular organization into something worthwhile, that pays its own dividends, and that enriches not only the organization, it enriches you. Then there's another organization that I'm part of that, you know, I used to just be a person that showed up, and eventually the person in charge said, you're going to teach this. I was like, well, I don't really know that much about that. He's like, well, here's a book, and you don't have to be perfect. Just give the information. And eventually I kind of rose through the ranks, so to speak. And now I'm one of the leadership people in that group just because somebody said, here, do this. And rather than just sit on my backside and accept the information from somebody else, I was willing to go and learn. And when I had to force myself to present it, then I learned it better. Mm-hmm. And so it enriched me in a way that it wouldn't have otherwise happened. Same thing can apply at church. It's like, well, we don't have a Sunday school class for this age. Here's a book, teach it. And you will learn more, and you will be more fulfilled. And I think over the course of time, you will come to appreciate that and get more out of it than you're really, you'll get more out of it than you're putting into it just because of the dynamic.
Right. I agree. Well, you know, we all have our stuff, and we have our things that really get us. And, you know, for me, I kind of deal with a lot of stuff. I mean, both of yours are things that irritate me. People's attitudes towards church. You know, just a couple of decades ago, church was the center of the community. And it was where you went for social engagement. It's where you went for community. It's where you went for support, for teaching. And now church is really nothing more than spiritual obligation. In many cases, I mean, people go because, well, this is what we've done all our life. I was raised a Christian, so I go to church. But I mean, even the preachers preaching, you listen to many preachers, and either they're doing one of two things. They're ear tickling. What do I mean by that? They're doing something that is warm and fuzzies only. You know, well, God want, I hate to say it, I started to say, this wasn't a dig. One well-known preacher has a book by this title. I wasn't intending to go that direction as a dig, but just, you know, we want you to live your best life. Mm-hmm. And
the whole self-help. Prosperity
gospel. Well, whatever. It's just self-help, self-help. And really all we've relegated it to is a warm and fuzzy pep talk. But then you have, the preachers who do the spiritual equivalent of a TED talk. And it's quippy anecdotes with some factual statistical type information. And glossed over with a couple of jokes and that's it. The problem is because we as a church have allowed that to happen. I think that's why the proliferation of the TED talk. People still have a desire for that kind of teaching, knowledge, continuing education, but the church has been woefully lax on their abilities, and so people are filling it with something to the akin of a TED Talk, and getting the, because really, I mean, if you think about it, what are TED Talks? They're 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. What's an average sermon? 30 minutes. 30 minutes. You know, it's a couple of points. It's an anecdote. It's an illustration or two, mm-hmm. a video, something of that nature, and then a closing. that is the structure of a sermon.
You'd call a TED Talk a secular sermon.
Yes, that's that's exactly what it is. It is a secular sermon, and but people eat it up. Okay, so what are we lacking? And so there's all kinds of things like that that I think we could really dig at. You know, for me, I've got like I said, I've got a laundry list. If we were to go down this trail, we could stay on this for weeks and weeks and months and months. But for me, I think, you know, my biggest issues in life come from life. From people are messy, and you know, everything from bad drivers in the city that we live in the major city that we live near. You know, it's all, and every city I've been to has the same complaint. You know, it's the worst drivers in the country. Well, you know, so there's bad drivers, and there's, you know, there's hypocrites in everything. We were talking about this off air. You know, there's hypocrites in every aspect of our life, whether it's at the gym, or it's in church, or it's in, the grocery store, you know, and you've got the people who, oh, we're only going to eat healthy. We only shop the outer edge of the grocery store. We don't buy any of the processed stuff in the middle, only to go home.
Only organic.
Yeah, only to go home and eat, you know, ho-hos or ding-dongs or something that when their kids aren't looking or whatever it is. You know, whatever the process is. And, you know, we just... We find these areas in our lives that really get to us. And so, you know, for those that are listening, we'd love for you to share some of your ideas. What are some of the things that really get under your skin and kind of get you going or boil your blood a little bit? You know, we've kind of just brushed against ours, and mostly from a church faith standpoint, since this is Christian guys. But, you know, guys, we know there's stuff that you're dealing with. We know there's stuff that irritates you. So if you will, just take a few minutes, jot it down, write it down in the comments, send it to us in an email, something. If you go to our website, there's a place where you can click on send us a voice message, and you can even share a recording. And we'd be happy to share that on one of our future episodes. So anyway, that being said, I want to say thank you for joining us and being part of the show today. Look forward to coming to you as often as we can. As of right now, as of the recording of this show, right now we're trying to come and visit with you a couple of times a month with all kinds of different topics. So if you have a topic that you'd like us to cover, make sure and drop that down in the notes or the comments as well. Just be watching for us to do some expansion and things on our website and some of our social media stuff. We really appreciate it. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Well, hey guys, you know, before we get out of here, I wanted to say one more quick thing. You know, we appreciate you listening on behalf of Caleb and David and myself. I want to say thanks for joining us every episode, and wanted to mention just a couple quick things for you. Number one, did you know that if you like the episodes, did you know that you can actually sponsor our episodes? You can go to anchor.fm/Christian Guys, all one word, and you can click the support this cast. And, you know, maybe it's $1, $5, $10, I don't know, maybe something. But you can go there and help us keep up the equipment and the time that it takes to get all of these put together. Hope they're a blessing to you. Also, do you know that you can be part of the show? We want to give you an opportunity to speak into the show. So if you have a question, it can be on anything. There is not a topic that we won't talk about. And so if you have a question that you'd like to ask, grab your smartphone, click on the voice memo, and record your question. Shoot us an email at podcast@christianguys.org. Shoot us that email with that attachment. We'll actually drop your audio right into the show. And then we'll answer your question, and you get to be part of the show. So we would love for you to do that. Hope you're looking forward to being part of it, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.